Bibles now, and turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 3, and I'm going to begin reading verses 21 down through verse 31. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by the faith of Jesus Christ upon all and unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Our subject today is the free grace of God. There are but two kinds of religion in the world at this hour. If this startles you, sit up and pay close attention so that you may fully understand what is meant by this statement. One may examine all the religions in this world and find that there are, in reality, but two classifications in which they fall. On the one side is the religion which has to do with the works of man, and into this category fall 99% of the religions of the world at this hour. On the other side is true Christianity, which declares that salvation is totally, entirely, and eternally of God apart from any works of man, and comes to us as a result of the free grace of God. When this takes place, it results in an experimental knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now hold your seat as I give you a truth. Unless you know Christ and have been made an object of free grace, you are on the wrong side and stand no different than all the others who are trying to go to heaven on the basis of their works. Remember this scripture because it sums it all up for everyone. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This is found in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Now let me ask you a question. Where do you stand at this hour? To fully comprehend and appreciate the free grace of God, one must know what free grace is. Therefore, to make it clear for all to understand, we shall first set forth the meaning of the term grace. Grace is, first of all, the goodwill and kindness of God bestowed upon an individual who does not deserve it. In Titus chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, the Scripture declares it for us where it says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Grace is not only the goodwill and kindness of God towards us, but grace goes much deeper than that, my radio friend. Let me give you the definition of an old Puritan, George Sales Bishop, who is now home with the Lord, and this is what he wrote. Grace is a provision of God for men so fallen that they cannot lift the axe of justice, so corrupt that they cannot change their own nature, so averse to God that they cannot turn to Him, so blind that they cannot see Him, so deaf that they cannot hear Him, and so dead that God Himself must open their graves and lift them into resurrection. Now this is grace. Our Scripture verifies this statement, and it's found in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7, where again we read, but God, who is mercy, or who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now you answer this question, if you will. Have you ever become a recipient of God's free grace? If you have, you can never, no, never get over it. People today fail to realize that for the grace of God to be in operation, there must be a cardinal reality to be faced and dealt with. The reality is the depravity of mankind, and I'd like to go one step further. The reality is the total depravity of mankind. The Word of God teaches the imperatives of grace because of the awful depraved condition of the human race. The Word of God teaches clearly also that a man is a dead, dumb, deaf, blinded, and rebellious sinner who cannot hear, cannot understand, or act with regard to his salvation. Let me set this forth a little bit more clearly as we give you some Scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, the Scripture tells us these words, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Now turn again to Romans chapter 8 and verses 7 through 8, where the Scripture says these things, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." These and many other Scriptures set forth the absolute total depravity of mankind. You see, man is not only dead and deaf and dumb and blinded and rebellious, but man is unable to do one solitary thing to save himself. Now, people today are telling individuals, "Well, exercise your faith." My friend, I'm going to say to you very kindly, a poor lost sinner doesn't have any faith. And any faith that an individual exercises of his own volition is nothing but a fleshly faith. And I'll guarantee you right now, it won't stand in the days of God's judgment. You know why? We are saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, God has to grant you the faith to believe, and this is what He does when He reaches down and saves an individual. Not only is man helpless with regard to salvation, but man cannot hear or believe until and unless grace is exercised in his heart. This makes the grace of God a most necessary imperative, because without grace there cannot be any salvation whatever. Take your Bibles now and turn back with me to the book of Acts and notice the words of chapter 18 and verses 27 and 28 where we read, "And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace." Now get that, they believed through grace. "For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ." Let me stop right here and give you this for a moment. Are you a true believer at this hour? If so, do you know why you came to believe the Lord Jesus Christ? It was due to one thing and one thing only, which was, the grace of God was extended to you and enabled you to believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your absolute all-sufficient Lord and Savior. Without the grace of God being operative in the heart of the person, that individual would never believe, and he cannot believe. And here is the reason why so many people, including some of you, you try and try to believe, but you cannot. You see, God has to grant you the faith to believe. And God's grace moves in upon that soul. And unless it does, that individual never will be able to believe. Now, we better understand that, because that's the absolute truth. And I don't care who fights against it, my friend. This is what the Bible teaches from Genesis to Revelation. Let me also say this. Satan seeks to counterfeit salvation at every turn. The great method of today is to tell the sinner to exercise his faith and simply believe on in Christ. The faith of man is not sufficient, because how can a dead sinner believe? The faith of man is not sufficient, because apart from God's grace, the faith of man is merely an exercise of the flesh and a mere soul force, but that individual still remains unsaved and an unbeliever unless and until God's grace sinks in, moves upon the individual, and grants the person the faith to believe Christ. Another trick of Satan is to cause the individual to supposedly grow in faith. Multitudes today think they are converted, but they cannot go back to the time and place where they stood before God as an unbelieving individual, wholly dependent upon the grace of God to give them the faith to believe. Many today have fallen for this trick of Satan. Many today were free willers at one time, and then they came into a knowledge of the doctrines of grace, and they suppose that because they have a knowledge of the doctrines of grace, that God has reached down and saved them, and they cannot tell you when the Lord Jesus Christ met them individually and personally. I'm going to tell you right now, my friend, if you've ever been saved, you can go back to the time and the place in your life where you stood before God as an unbelieving, helpless, hell-deserving, lost sinner. You begged the Lord to have mercy upon you, and you wondered if He ever would. And then, to your utter amazement, the Spirit of God revealed Christ to you by means of His power and through the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus became a living reality in your heart. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, my friend, listen, you better go back and find out where you stand with before the Lord God of heaven. For you to believe, my Lord must open the door of faith unto you. Again, listen to Acts chapter 14 and verse 27, where we read, "And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles." Then in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9, we read again, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Has God ever opened the door of faith unto you, my friend? Has He ever wrought this work in your heart, my radio listener? Listen, if you don't know what I'm talking about, then put it down. This is strange to you, but I'm going to say to you very kindly, you don't get to heaven apart from the grace of God, because it's by grace we're saved, no other way, and my Lord has to grant you the faith to believe. And if He never does, then put it down. You never will believe. All my hope and prayer is that something is being said, that the Holy Spirit of God will stir your heart and make you realize that we're saved not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, thus far, we have set forth the meaning and the imperative of grace. There is one more aspect of grace we need to call your attention to, and this aspect is that grace is no respecter of persons. Now, the grace of God, hold your seat now, pay close attention. The grace of God levels every man and puts all mankind on the same plane, which is the plane of sin. It makes no difference whether you are educated or uneducated, whether you can read or write, or whether you cannot. It makes no difference whether you're a preacher, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, an individual in the pew, or a sinner in the gutter. The grace of God levels every individual before the Lord God of heaven. It puts all individuals in the same category as is found in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, where we read, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." A favorite trick of Satan today is to get people who have been raised in a religious home, and they stand up and give their testimony and said, "You know, I wasn't as great a sinner as anybody else. I didn't get out into the world, and therefore I wasn't as great a sinner as somebody else." And yet, my friend, it proves one thing. They've never seen themselves as a hell-deserving sinner before the Lord God of heaven. You see, it makes no difference. The grace of God puts man on the plane of being a helpless, condemned, unbelieving sinner who must have God's grace bestowed upon him if he is ever to be rescued from a devil's hell. Let me give you this illustration, if I may. A judge and a convict were once in the same service where the power of the Lord was manifested. During the preaching hour, the hearts of both men were dealt with by the Spirit of God. Both of them came forward and met at the same time, or both of them came forward at the same time, and they met in the front. The convict looked up and recognized the judge and said these words, "Judge, I stood before your bench, and you were the judge, and I was the bum. Now we both stand before God, on the same plane, for both of us are nothing but a couple of bums. And oh, how true this statement is. Last of all, the grace of God does a work that's lasting in the heart of the individual. Now pay close attention. God's grace is bestowed only through our Lord Jesus Christ. This means that apart from Christ, there is no grace of God for you, my friend, regardless of who you may be. Unless and until you come to know Christ, you are not a recipient of the grace of God. Listen to the Apostle Paul as he penned these words in Galatians chapter 1 and verses 15 and 16, where he said, "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." Now let's sum this all up. You see, God's grace is a free grace. God's grace also is a sovereign grace. And then we find very clearly God's grace comes through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by grace we are called of God, and we are called into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ dwells within our hearts by faith because He has been revealed in us as He was revealed unto the Apostle Paul. The result is we know Christ and we are known of Christ. We become accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace. Grace also keeps us humble and grateful unto our God. We look within and see our unworthiness, and we look to Christ and see His sufficiency. We see His excellency and sufficiency to cover our sins, past, present, and future, and our hearts are made to well up within us. To think the Lord would bestow His grace upon us makes us to be eternally grateful, while our desire is to praise Him and exalt Him in all facets of our lives. It is this which people don't understand unless they have become the recipients of God's grace. Now what about you, my radio friend? Has God ever shed His grace upon you in this manner? If He has, you know it. And if He has not, our hope is that He will grant you this privilege even at this hour. Remember, salvation is not a hope so, think so, guess so, maybe so, or surmise so. Salvation is knowing Christ and Christ knowing you. And my hope is that something has been said that the Lord will take and cause you to stir your heart to seek Him until you find Him. The greatest thing can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus to reach down and save you. And may He do it, is my prayer. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter North here saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.